We once again must express our gratitude to the Lord for the opportunity that we have to praise His name, to glorify Him, to meet together as as the body of Christ, and to seek to encourage one another. And we're thankful for everyone who is here, thankful for those who are live streaming, able to worship with us as well. You might be opening your Bibles to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 9, we'll look at in just, we'll begin in just a moment here. We are studying through the book of Daniel. I hope you have been enjoying this study. I certainly have. This man, Daniel, is impressive in his faith. But I must say, the Lord is impressive in His power and His leadership and His dominion, in His wisdom of how He is able to help His children continue to grow and at the same time be with them and deliver them and demonstrate His power. It is an amazing opportunity we have in the book of Daniel to really look at what is beyond our scope. We see this physical world, we see historical things happening, and it is difficult for us to grasp just everything in the moment, in the here and now, what is happening. But the Lord, through the book of Daniel, helps us to see His vision is beyond what's happening right now. He can see far into the future. And not only can He see far into the future, He can affect the future, which is much beyond our capability, much beyond our ability. So it is a study that is a faith-building study as well. As I said this morning, we would like in the lesson this morning to simply read the last chapters of the book of Daniel, chapter 9, 10, 11, and 12. This is perhaps some of the most difficult passages in the Bible. I know there are some very difficult passages in Ezekiel and in Isaiah. Well, there's a lot of difficult passages. But I find this challenging, to say the least. Because God has the ability to look into the future. So in these visions that Daniel has, he looks into the future, but doesn't pinpoint everything, but certainly gives us the indication that he knows the future, but to understand it all is extremely difficult, even when we have the ability to look back in history and see what has taken place. I, in previous times, have tried to put together a series of slides that would kind of go through the story. I didn't do it this time because I couldn't find any slides that, because there's not really a storyline. There are prophecies about conflicts and all of this. So slides are at a minimal. In fact, I have one per chapter, and that's all I can give you. So in chapter 9 here, we are in the first year of Darius, it says. So I'll give this first slide here, where Daniel sees this vision. And I want you to note that this is an older man. I want to make sure we had a picture that denotes him, that portrays him as an older man. He is, as Brent said, in his 80s, perhaps 90 years old. He has seen a lot in his years. There's not a lot of evidence that he has received visions personally in his younger years. The evidence is, or what has been preserved for us, are these visions that he sees in his latter years. And so here is a man who has had firm confidence in God all along, and now in his later years sees these amazing things, and it seems to be overwhelming to him in trying to understand it all, but he keeps them to himself but pens them for them to be read throughout the world. Chapter 9. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the year specified by the word of the Lord given through Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in desolations of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face, as it is this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those afar off, and all of the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belongs mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servant the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words, which he has spoken against us and against our judges who judged us, by bringing upon us a great disaster. For under the whole heaven, such never has been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us. Yet we have not made our prayer before God, Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Therefore the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name as it is this day, we have sinned. We have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because our sins, for our iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people, have become a reproach to all who are around us. Now, therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications for the Lord's sake. Cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations, the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. Lord, hear. Lord, forgive. Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God. For your city and your people are called by your name. Now, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the commandment went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring the everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah, the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince who has come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be a flood. To the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. On the wing of the abominations shall the one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, it is poured out on the desolate. So he sees into the future the Messiah coming, the establishment of the kingdom, and it seems to me the complete destruction of Jerusalem, the rebuilding and then the destruction. So, chapter 10, Daniel is able to see further a vision of a heavenly messenger. Verse 1, chapter 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name is called Belteshazzar. The message is true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, David, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now, on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is, the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Upaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, and my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Then suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While I was speaking, this word came to me. I stood trembling. And he said to me, do not fear, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. When he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And suddenly, one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, my Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me in now, nor is any breath left in me. Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be with you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. Then when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. And he said, Do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince. So now he's going to go into chapter 11. And chapter 11 is going to be hard to follow. I'm sure what we have read already is really easy to follow. But 11 is going to get tough to follow. But hang in there. So he's going to start with Persia, and then he's going to switch to Greece with Alexander the Great and his four generals. And then there's going to be a lot of fighting going back and forth. And it's going to lead to Rome. And then there's a lot of fighting going back and forth. Okay, so that's chapter 11. But let's read it in the words that Daniel gives us here. Chapter 11, verse 1. Also, in the first year of Darius, the Mede, I stood up to confirm and strengthen him. And now I will tell you the truth. Behold, three more kings will arise in Persia, and a fourth shall be far richer than them all by his strength. Through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Greece. Then a mighty king shall arise, who shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. And when he has arisen, his kingdom will be broken up and divided toward the four winds of heaven, but not among his posterity, nor according to his dominion with which he ruled. For his kingdom shall be uprooted, even for those besides these. Then the king of the south shall become strong, as well as one of his princes, and he shall gain power over him and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion. And at the end of some years, they shall join forces, for the daughter of the king of the south shall go to the king of the north and make an agreement. But she shall not retain the power of her authority, and neither he nor his authority shall stand. But she shall be given up with those who brought her, and with him who begot her, and with him who strengthened her in those times. But from a branch of her roots, one shall arise in his place, who shall come with an army and enter the fortress of the king of the north and deal with them and prevail. And he shall also carry their gods captive to Egypt with their princes and their precious articles of silver and gold, and he shall continue more years than the king of the north. Then the king of the north shall come to the kingdom of the king of the south, but shall return to his own land. However, his sons shall stir up strife and assemble a multitude with great forces, and one shall certainly come and overcome and will pass through. Then he shall return to his fortress and stir up strife. And the king of the south shall be moved with rage and go out and fight with him, with the king of the north, who shall muster a great multitude, but the multitude shall be given into the hand of his enemy. When he has taken away the multitude, his heart will be lifted up, and he will cast down tens of thousands, but he will not prevail. For the king of the north will return and muster a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come at the end of some years with the great army and much equipment. And in those times many shall rise up against the king of the south. Also certain violent men of your people shall exalt themselves in fulfillment of the vision, but they shall fall. So the king of the north shall come and build a siege mound and take a fortified city, and the forces of the south shall not withstand him. Even his choice troops shall have no strength to resist. But he who comes against him shall do according to his own will, and no one shall stand against him. He shall stand in the glorious land with destruction in his power. He shall also set his face to enter the strength of his whole kingdom, and upright ones with him, thus shall he do. And he shall give him the daughter of women to destroy it, but she shall not stand with him or be with him. After this, he shall turn his face to the coastlands and shall take many. But a ruler shall bring the reproach against them to an end, and the reproach removed, he shall turn back on him. Then he shall turn his face toward the fortress in his own land, but he shall stumble and fall and not be found. There shall arise in his place one who imposes taxes on the glorious kingdom, but within a few days he shall be destroyed, but not in anger or in battle. And in his place shall arise a vile person, to whom they will not give the honor of royalty, but he shall come in peacefully and seize the kingdom by intrigue. With the force of a flood, they shall be swept away from before him and be broken, and also the prince of the covenant. And after the league is made with him, he shall act deceitfully, for he shall come up and become strong with a small number of people. He shall enter peacefully, even into the richest places of the province, and he shall do what his fathers have not done, nor his forefathers. He shall disperse among them the plunder, spoil, and riches, and he shall devise his plans against the strongholds, but only for a time. He shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army, and the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army. But he shall not stand, for they shall devise plans against him. Yes, those who eat of the portion of his delicacies shall destroy him. His army shall be swept away, and many shall fall down slain. Both these kings' hearts shall be bent on evil, and they shall speak lies at the same table, but shall not prosper. For the end will still be at the appointed time. While returning to his land with great riches, his heart shall be moved against the holy covenant. So he shall do damage and return to his own land. At the appointed time, he shall return and go down to the south, but it shall not be like the former or the latter. For ships from Cyprus shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return enraged against the holy covenant and do damage. So shall he return and show regard to those who forsake the holy covenant. And forces shall be mustered by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress, and they shall take away the daily sacrifices, and the place there the abomination of desolation. Those who do wickedly against the covenant shall corrupt with flattery, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. And those of the people who understand shall instruct many, yet for many days they shall fall by the sword in flame, by captivity and plundering. Now when they fall, they shall be aided with a little help, but many will join with them by intrigue. And some of those of understanding shall fall to refine them, to purge them, to make them white until the time of the end, because it is still for the appointed time. Then the king will do according to his own will, and shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, and speak blasphemies against God of the God of gods, and shall prosper until the wrath has been accomplished, for what has been determined shall be done. He shall regard neither God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above them all. But in their place he shall honor a god of fortresses, and a god which his fathers did not know, he shall honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and precious things. Thus he shall act against the strongest fortresses with a foreign god, which he shall acknowledge and advance his glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many and divide the land for gain. At the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, horsemen, and with many ships, and he will enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. He shall also enter the glorious land. With many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape from his hand, Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon. He shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver and over the precious things of Egypt. Also the Libyans and Ethiopians shall follow at his heels. But news from the east and of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go out with great fury to destroy and annihilate many. And he shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and no one will help him. Whew. I hope you got all that. Wow, that is there is a tremendous amount of detail that God sees in it. He's not just generically saying, you know, one kingdom's going to take over. He's seen specific battles, and it's hard to identify because he doesn't get names here. Some of them seem to be pretty clear, but wow, that's a lot. So chapter 12, and when we go through and kind of break it down, I may observe the Passover, chapter 11. I may not deal with that at all because, whew, I don't know exactly where I would start and end with that. But chapter 12 gets a little bit more messianic, at least at the beginning. And so there's a little bit of hope here given to Daniel. So chapter 12, verse 1. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, every one who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this riverbank and another on that riverbank. And one said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Then I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times and half a time and a time, and when the power of the holy people has completely shattered, all of these things shall be finished. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time of the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you go your way to the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. What a tremendous book that Daniel, set of visions that Daniel is able to see. Visions that look into the future, that look both at wars, but more gloriously for us, look to the time of the Messiah, when the kingdom was established, the dominion of the Lord was established, that we have the ability and the privilege to be part of. I would encourage you, if you're not a Christian, to recognize who this God is, to recognize His wisdom, His intelligence, His knowledge, His ability that is far above us, and bow down and serve Him. He deserves it. He is God. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? We have the opportunity in the presence of this God to be cleansed of our sins so that we can be in His presence, this holy God, so that we can be holy ourselves. It is only through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you will repent and confess His name and be baptized, you can have the forgiveness of sins. If you have for some reason turned away from this great God of heaven, we would also encourage you to acknowledge Him for who He is and come back to Him as we stand and sing.